Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we all doing today? How many more shopping days till Christmas? Let's see. All right. Okay, the main thing here, we're glad to have you here today. We hope that you'll plan to be with us here next Sunday morning, an hour and 15 minutes before this, okay? 9:15 is the magic hour next Sunday, and so try to make that happen. If you got to go to bed an hour and 15 minutes earlier or whatever it takes, get that alarm clock cranked up or something. But so our children are going to be sharing some things with us next Sunday morning, 9:15. Following that, we'll be going downstairs having our birthday party for Jesus. And there is a sign-up sheet back there. It might be under something right now, but there might be something there if you want to bring something else along. Okay, so that's kind of the main thing here. We're glad to have you with us today. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
All right, good enough. Okay, in your mailboxes, there's this is put out by ABWE Missions, they happen to be kind of zeroing in on Ukraine in this particular edition, and got pictures and different articles and things, as well as telling about some of the new missionaries going out. But you might take that home and read some of those articles in there. I think that will be encouraging to you, help you to know better how to pray for those folks in Ukraine. I guess I shared this with the people on Wednesday night, but some of you weren't able to be a part of that. So I was talking with our missionary, Tim, and he was telling how he had, just the week before that, was able to purchase a generator for his brother-in-law there in Ukraine, who's a pastor there. And so he had got this generator for him. And as the pastor's coming into town, he sees the mayor, and they're calling this a village. And I said, well, how big is this village? Well, 10,000 people. And the whole town, there's no electricity in this whole town. And he's coming in with this generator, and he pulls over to talk to the mayor, and the mayor's saying, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, everybody's looking to me to fix something, you know, do something. And he says, I don't know what to do. And he said, I got part of your answer right back here. And he said, I got this generator, and hop in. And so they took it. He said, what we're going to do is we're taking this to our church. We're going to set it up. And you can tell people all over town, come to the Baptist church. And they can charge up their phones or whatever else that they're wanting to do, because that's the thing with everybody got a cell phone. Doesn't work too good when the battery goes dead. So, and you have no way to charge it up. So bring them over. He says, we'll have coffee and tea and snacks and other things there. But he says, we are going to share the gospel with them. He said, yeah, I know. But he said, he went on to say, he said, you know, every time our village has come to some kind of a crisis, he says, your church has been there to help us out some way or another. He said, Russian Orthodox Church, so they don't do nothing. But he says, your church has been there for us. And so they got a testimony. And so you might not think, big deal, generator. Well, it's going to be a big deal for that village. You know, there's probably a lot of other ones that don't have a generator to charge up their phone to call family and loved ones and let them know are still alive. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of neat, you know. And last week, a gift came in for him, and I try to send him an email just to let him know there's something coming, you know. And he's saying, praise the Lord. He says, my Ukraine fund was empty. And so now he's got some more funds there to work with. So keep praying for Tim and Rebecca Fruin, and there's a whole lot of other missionaries over there, too, that are trying to help out people in some of the conditions that they're dealing with. So, all right. So you're warm, got a roof over your head, lights, all this stuff that we kind of take for granted. You know, God's good to us, but we need to be praying for others that aren't quite so fortunate. All right, Bob's going to come and lead us in some songs. How about 153 here to start with? Come on, ring those bells. 153.
All right, good morning, guys. Let's stand and sing 153. Come on, ring those bells. It's only one, so we'll just keep singing it.
Playing.
turn back to 147, Silent Night. 147, we'll sing all three verses. A Midnight Clear, 128. We'll sing 1, 2, and 4 there. 128. Hark the Angels Sing. 133, we'll sing all three verses.
Hark the angels sing.
junior church young people are dismissed. First floor, men and boys. Okay. Somebody said that we need a blue ribbon out here. Now that will force whoever's the decorator to change things. Okay. You can see why I'm not decorating around here. Okay. All right, so today we want to take a look at a couple of people that are involved in the Christmas story. We're looking a little bit closer here at two ladies, two wonderful ladies that God has chosen for special responsibilities, that of Mary and Elizabeth. And want to see some ways that and reasons that we ought to be praising the Lord. For some, that rarely happens. And I came across this little story that was entitled, None Ever Praise Mother. A mother who'd raised six boys to manhood and her work was done had laid down to die. And the boys came home to see their mother. And her oldest, a great man, powerful man, knelt beside her and was wiping the death's dew off of her forehead and said to her, Mother, you've always been a good mother to us boys. The tired woman closed her eyes and great tears pushed out underneath her eyelids, ran down her cheeks. Then she opened her eyes and looked searching into the face of her firstborn and said, My boy, I prayed more than anything else that I might be a good mother to you six boys. I was afraid that I should fail in some way, and I never knew whether you boys thought I had failed or not. Not one of you ever told me I was a good mother until today. Ow. Don't wait till somebody's on their deathbed to try to tell them that they mean something to you. Let them know early. Could we be like these boys, though? We never really offer a word of thanks. Sometimes it's to anybody for anything. Sometimes it's just simply towards the Lord. We fail to thank God for His many blessings. And, you know, it's awful easy to take God for granted. He's always going to be there. And we just don't give too much thought to it. But today we want to see some look at this account of Mary and Elizabeth and allow the Holy Spirit to prompt us to be more of a thankful people so that we don't end up like these guys coming in a day late, dollar short. If you have your Bibles, look with me to Luke chapter 1. There in verse 39, it says, And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah. And so we see here the angel had previously spoken to Mary, told her what was going on, and in the process had also told her that her cousin Elizabeth was also going to bear a son. That may have prompted Mary to decide to go visit her aged cousin. It may also have been some other reasons. It may have been the fact that we don't know. We don't see anything there about Mary that her mother was anywhere close around. Maybe she needed another lady to talk to, especially another lady that was pregnant and deal with similar issues as she was. And Elizabeth would be understanding towards her at such a time as this. It's about a four-day journey, they tell us, from Nazareth, where she's at, to the priest's city. And so it would have taken some planning in order to make that happen. And we see that she made plans, and she went with haste, in a hurry, to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And if there was any fear, trembling, or anything else going on there, it seemed to have kind of vanished, or at least it didn't stop her from going. And we see this in the following verses, and that how the Lord used the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit rather used Elizabeth, to bring assurance, encouragement to Mary. And she confirms God's plan for Mary and for herself, really. She was going to have a son whose name was John and would later be known as John the Baptist. And Mary was going to have a son that we know as Jesus. And so sometimes God brings other people into our lives to help give us assurance of one thing or another about maybe about what God has in store for us. And just encouragement that, you know, God's at work here. And it's interesting to see the directions that God gives here. There's not a lot of introductions. There's not a lot of, hey, you know, did you see what the gas prices were? The roads were fine, you know, the weather's fine, you know, it rained a little along the way. We don't see any of this stuff, you know. They just kind of jump right into the important matter, that of the virgin birth. So if you have your Bibles, look with along with me as we read a few more verses here. Luke chapter 1, verse 40, it says, so she came with haste to the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So we see here a few things that are going on. First of all, we see Elizabeth assures Mary that she's blessed. Now, I don't know how many of you go down south, but you hear stuff like, have blessed day. You know, bless this and bless that. Well, it wasn't just because they were from the south here, but rather it was truly God had blessed her. He had selected Mary to be the mother of the Messiah, of his blessed son. It was a message of encouragement. And Mary probably wasn't getting an awful lot of that back in Nazareth. In fact, she's probably getting, you know, some odd looks from people. Oh, that's Mary, you know, to hear about Mary and so on. But she's not getting that here. It's greetings like you expect royalty to receive. And we see here that in the process that Elizabeth depreciates herself. She's self-humbling here as she mentions this in verse 43, from whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She's not boastful, but she's self-depreciating in her own attitude. He says, how is it possible that the mother of my Lord She realized that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, that she was going to be worshiping Mary's baby, and that the Lord should come to me, of all people, you know. And so she feels unworthy and wondering as to why Mary would come to see her. And yet Mary, again, is used of the Lord to be an encouragement to Elizabeth as well. Mary recognizes her humility. And the thing is, God wants us to have that same kind of attitude, really. That, you know, we are something special. Maybe our parents have been telling us that all the way along, but in reality, no, we're kind of like everybody else. There's nothing that should prompt God to pick us out of the crowd and said, boy, I want that one on my team, you know. But again, humility, you know, that's kind of a lost characteristic out there today. You know, you're filling out that job application, and you know, it's how much can you brag on yourself? Not the humble side, but he wants us to have that kind of attitude towards others. We see here too that there's some holy joy that's going on. There's no jealousy here, you know, and there could be. I mean, Elizabeth is the wife of a priest, and thinking, you know, why did you get to be the mother of the Messiah? That should have come to somebody like me. I am the wife of a priest. But she's not jealous. And rather, she's rejoicing for Mary. It's a great thing that God was doing in Mary's life. And the scripture tells us we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. But it also tells us to weep with those that weep. But here there's rejoicing that's going on. There's no jealousy here. There's no envy. She's not knocking Mary, you know, how did you end up with this? You know, you of all people kind of thing. She's rejoicing that this good thing is happening in Mary's life. Are we able to rejoice with others that have reason to rejoice? Maybe they got a new house or a new car, a new baby, or a new this, that, the other thing. And they're rejoicing, and rather than us being a wet blanket, that we are able to rejoice with them, the good things that are happening. Well, we see here that Mary's faith is also encouraged and recognized. You look there in verse 45, it says, "And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And she's blessed because she's believed. God wants that to be true of each and every one of us as well. To believe God's word, to believe in Jesus as our Savior, to trust Him alone for our salvation. And we see here that Mary's faith was really kind of paying some dividends right then and there. Mary is going around the house, along with Elizabeth, rejoicing. That wasn't the case with Zechariah, okay? And that was something that happens here earlier, but Zacharias was doubting when God said, you know, your wife's going to have a son and all these things. And as a result, God took away his ability to speak. So it's kind of mums the word, you know. I don't know if he's writing post-it notes to his wife or what, you know. What's for breakfast? What's for lunch? whatever. But he's not able to enter into this. And so Elizabeth and Mary are rejoicing because of her faith. She believed. God told her what was going to happen. She believed him. She said, "Lord, here am I. You know, here's your handmaid. You do with me as you wish." And God will reward our faith too. It's not always going to be the here and now. It's not always going to be the following week or something. But when we take God at His word, He's going to reward us. He's faithful to His promises. God doesn't go back on his promises. He doesn't say one thing just to make you feel warm and fuzzy and then kind of ignore it, pretend like it never happened. He will never disappoint us and go back on his promises. And here we see Mary as a person of strong faith. And it tells us that when we enter into strong faith, we're able to also enter into God's rest. He's able to give us rest. Okay, not just, you know, flat out on the bed, but he's able to give us rest and peace within our own hearts and lives. We can rest being confident that God's in control. Okay? I trust that's where you're at. You know, we're coming up to on 2023. We've had a couple of clinkers along the way here with COVID and all the rest of that, things being kind of interrupted. 23 might be as bad or worse than the rest of them. You know, I'm not a prophet, so don't stone me if it turns out good, okay? But there's at least a fair bit of potential for things to kind of go bad. But we need to keep our faith and dependence on the Lord, okay? Our dependence is not on Madison or Washington or President Biden or anybody else, okay? Our faith needs to be in the Lord. He's the one who's promised that I'm going to supply all your needs, okay? It's not the government, all right? Because right now the government's making whatever they give you worth less and less or cost you more and more, all right? But, you know, God's going to be there for us. Sometimes we just kind of need to rehearse a little bit. You remember how God took care of the Israelites? They're out there in this desert. I mean, it's not a vegetable garden. It's not a land overflowing with lakes and lots of water and, you know, just a paradise. No, it was a desert, and yet God provided for them for 40 years. God has the ability to supply our needs, okay? Doesn't mean that we're going to have manna out there every morning. You know, maybe that's manna. We just don't recognize it out there yet. Melt it down, make yourself a cup of tea, you know, whatever. It might be that way, you know? I mean, they tell all kinds of horror stories. Okay, if the train strike eventually happens, we say, so what? Well, there's a lot of stuff comes in on trains we don't even think about, like chlorine for your water. You want to boil all your water before you cook or drink it, you know? I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that potentially could go bad, but God's going to take care of us. You know, and as I mentioned here with this magazine and telling about some of the things going on in Ukraine, God's taking care of those folks over there. Didn't say it was all fun, okay? You don't have no heat, you don't have any electricity, you don't have water, you don't have a lot of this stuff. It's uncomfortable. But God's still taking care of them, okay? And he can bring in a generator or whatever else he needs. When he needs, you know, and I bet they appreciate that a whole lot more than if they didn't have one otherwise. Well, let's look at some things here and some reasons why that they're rejoicing and to see how God has provided for them, things that they're praising the Lord for. Some of these same things that we can praise the Lord for today. The first thing here is God is the source of Mary's joy. He's a source of not only Mary's joy, but of your joy and mine. James tells us that every good and perfect gift cometh from who? From God, all right? And from the Father. He tells us here, there in verse 46 and 47, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Okay, she's praising the Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She's rejoicing. Did you notice here too, though? She said, in God, what? My Savior. Folks, Mary needed a Savior just like everybody else. Okay? You know, I know you see pictures of it, and Mary's got her little halo up here and all. No, Mary's a sinner just like the rest of us. Right? She needed a Savior. God provided a Savior for her and for Elizabeth and Zechariah and all the rest of us. We all needed a Savior. But the joy comes from the Lord. And so she's excited. And her spirit's rejoicing in the fact that God is providing a Savior for the world, not just simply for her. And it causes her to rejoice in not in something that she has done, but what God is doing. You know, God did everything that was necessary for our salvation. He provided a Savior. He provided a substitute to die in our place. He provided Christ's blood to cleanse away our sin. Everything that we have need of, God has provided. And what we need to do is to accept it by faith. We see here, too, that our Savior, not our circumstances or the state that we're in, was the foundation for the joy. And to be honest, what is it that excites us? What do we get all excited about? Is it the Packers winning? You know? Is it the Badgers winning? Is it the forecast of a foot of snow missed us? Or for those who really like snow, that there's 14 inches coming, okay? Some of you might want to consider going to Sierra, to the Sierra Mountains, California. I think somebody said, Maureen said they were supposed to get 7 feet of snow. How do you forecast 7 feet? You know, you're going to have this much snow. Look out your windows now, because tomorrow it's going to be white. Okay, so, yeah, is it Christ coming, or is it the Christmas presents? Is it Christ coming, or the guests that are coming for Christmas? Is it Christ coming, or the circumstances that we find ourselves in? Something to think about. And for Mary, she was rejoicing. She was excited the fact that the Savior was coming. And we see here that Mary also recognizes herself as a recipient, the one who's receiving God's condescending love. And she has, notice there in verse 48, it says, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all the generations shall call me blessed." Of all the people out there, you stop and think about it. Of the millions of people that were on the earth in Jesus' day, to be the one lady that God chose to be the mother of his son. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And Mary recognized that God stooped down in love and chose her especially. There wasn't something, you know, that she's the top of her class and, you know, she on and on and on, some reason that, you know, well, I've got to choose this one. No, God chose her because of his great love. And we can praise him for his love. Again, it's not that the God didn't choose the way the world does, okay? God's not looking at the who's who, or who's been on the front page of Time magazine, or who's been in the headlines of the news here lately. Who's the rich and famous individual? That tends to be the way the world picks their winners, okay? But here, God chose the poor and the unknown to be his vessel. James 2:5 tells us, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" And so we see here that she's pleased that she's been chosen by God. And again, that God has not went looking for the up and outers, but really almost like the down and outers. He's chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, to be his servant. She recognizes her low estate. She recognizes, you know, I'm kind of on the lower rungs of the ladder here, okay? And yet, God chose to reach down to where I'm at today and to love me. And not only did he do it to Mary, but he did that for each and every one of us. And that's God's attitude. He tells us that God so loved the world, okay? And he accepts us. And as we make ourselves available to him. And it's not our conditions. It's not that we kind of bargain with God. God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. Okay? A lot of people try that. I even tried that at one point in my life. You know, you've got somebody you love in the emergency room and you're, God, you know, if you just spare the life, I'll do this, that, and the other. You know, and then God doesn't turn out quite the way you hoped. But, you know, that doesn't get us off the hook. We promise God, I'm going to do that for you, then we better follow through with it. But here he stoops down in love. And we've got nothing to offer God. There's nothing that we have that God needs, okay? And yet, he accepts us, and he loves us. And just like we sing that song, Just As I Am. Now, does God want us to stay just as I am forever? No. He wants us to grow and mature in our faith. But he takes us as we are. He didn't say, go clean up your life, get rid of all your bad habits, and when you get your life all put together, then come back and see me, and then maybe we'll talk about it. No, he says, you come to me the way we are, and I'll transform your life from the inside out. I'll turn you from a sinner to a saint, from somebody whose destiny was hell to heaven. God can change that. He can make that happen. And we need to learn to be more willing to accept one another. The way we are, okay, you know, we're not all just a bunch of accidents running around. We're all different, right? Okay, God didn't do this cookie-cutter Christian thing, ka-chunk, 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 you know, and we all look like, act like, we all love the same thing. You know, Culver's doesn't need 25 flavors. We all love the same flavor. No, we're different. And we probably got a few little different quirks here along the way, right? And sometimes we get at this, you know, I could like them more if they were different. If they were more like me, then I could like them more. Sometimes we do that to family. Maybe your husband or your wife. They've not turned out to be what you dream them to be. Or your children. Or your parents. How much better would we be better off if we learned to accept people the way they are, the way God made them? That doesn't mean that we love their sin, if that's involved, but you know, God still loves the sinner. Then cast the baby out with the bath. We see here, too, that she believes that really there's going to be everlasting fame. She's praising the Lord for making her name known. You know, again, Mary didn't make Time magazine cover as a result of Jesus being born or anywhere else along the way. But there's not too many places probably in this world that doesn't know who Mary is. Who was Jesus' mother? It was Mary. And as undeserving as she might be, we recognize that God chose her to be the one to carry his incarnate son, God becoming man. All generations were going to know who Mary was. She probably wouldn't get a whole lot of recognition in this life or anything that she kind of recognition that she might want, but ultimately God would take care of that. Okay? We don't have to make a name for ourselves. You know, we don't have to worry about our legacy. God will take care of that if there needs to be one. Okay? It might kind of shock us if we realized how soon we'll be forgotten. But here we see here, praise God for His mercy. We touched on that in our Sunday school lesson. That was a word that we were looking at. But look at there in verse 49. He says, for He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. Verse 50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. We need to acknowledge we're all in need of God's mercy. We're all in need of God's compassion, His loving kindness. Again, we don't have a God that we have to give food and all kinds of other stuff to get Him in a good mood so we can ask a favor of Him. Okay? We've got a God who loves us, even while we were yet sinners. And especially those who, again, we've done nothing to deserve it. And yet the psalmist tells us, Psalm 126:3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. You thought about what has God done for you recently? Now, I don't say that so that you've got some reason to complain. Well, God's not done much for me lately. No, it's like stop and think about what has He done for you here lately? Has He protected you, maybe, in the way that you drive? That car was flying down the road and could have just easily taken you out. Or something else that may have happened. Do we know? And again, something we didn't deserve, but yet God, in His mercy, watched over us, loved us, showed kindness towards us. Again, verse 50 tells us that those who fear or reverence the Lord, His mercy, from one generation to the next. As parents, we ought to be pointing this out to our kids. Stop and think about what did God do for us today, you know? Help them to be looking for that sort of thing in their own lives. How God is working in their life. Again, God's mercy. It doesn't just come to visit a moment or two in our whole lifetime. It's a lifetime of mercy that we experience. And it ought to overflow into the lives of others. Because God is rich in mercy towards us, it ought to overflow into the lives of others. Okay? None of us has the right to become the Grinch. Growly old person, all right? Yeah, we may have some aches and pains along the way, okay? But that doesn't justify it. God is still rich in mercy. Now, maybe you feel differently than this, and I know I've said this before, but I'm thinking, if God never gave me another thing the rest of my life, He's been merciful towards me. And I'm satisfied He has towards you as well. Verse 51 says, He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's merciful. He's kind towards us. And yet He says He scatters the proud. Those whose life is self-centered, world tends to revolve around them. You talk to people like that. It's all me, my, I, you know. It says God scatters them. And He puts them down, verse 52, He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. God has a way of knocking down the proud a peg or two. That doesn't say we're to do it. God will do it. He'll do it the right way at the right time, and they'll know that it comes from the Lord. And our part is to humble ourselves before God. And at the right time, God will lift us up. We don't have to lift ourselves up. Okay? We don't have to tell the world how great we are. What great things that we've done. You know, if there's any acclamation to be made, let God do it. We don't have to be putting our arm out of joint, patting ourselves on the back. And we see that, again, God does a better job of it. We got an example of that with King Herod. He desired that everybody would fear him, okay? And fear him as much or more than God. And he was a wicked, powerful man. He must have been, he must have had some real issues. You know, I don't know exactly how old this guy is, but he's old, you know? And yet he's worried that some of those, one of those babies over there in Bethlehem might grow up and take my job. And so we're going to take care of that. We're going to kill all those babies 2 years old and under. How many lives, families were wrecked because of this man? Well, God had a way of dealing with him too. And he had a great speech. And people were crying out, "It's the voice of a God!" And he didn't go, "No, no, you guys got it all wrong." No, he's soaking it all up. "Well, they think I'm a God. Oh, that's awesome." God struck him down. It said that he died with worms eating him. Okay? I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty rough way to go. And we see here, verse 52, that God exalts those of low degree. And that's ultimately what he did to Mary and to Joseph and even to Jesus. They were like peasants in the eyes of a king. And yet God blessed them. And he's the one who warned them ahead of time to get out of town fast, lest Jesus be killed in the slaughter that was about to take place. And he puts down the proud. He lifts up the humble. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:5, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Okay, so mercy lifts us up. Of low degree, he lifts us up. He cares for us, for those who fear the Lord. We see here, too, that he prays, she's praising God for his ability to satisfy the needs. Satisfy the needy and ultimately to disappoint the rich. He says in verse 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty." Those who recognize they're needy, and whether we realize it or not, folks, we're all needy. We're needy people. And yet some people don't recognize that, you know? Unfortunately, some who have wealth thinking, "I'm sufficiently cared for, I've got everything I need, money in the bank, you know, security, all the rest of that stuff. I don't need the Lord." And but as time goes along, you find out that there are things that they have need of, and you can't buy it on Amazon or anywhere else. They can't buy peace. They can't buy happiness. Oh, we can keep buying stuff, but it doesn't necessarily make us happy. And we can't buy contentment. We can't buy the love of other people, maybe family or others. And so you find, and you know, again, kind of the rich and famous. I don't even know if they used to have the houses. I don't know if they still do that or not. There was some program with the rich and famous, and they'd show the houses that they lived in and all the rest of that stuff. Are all those people happy? No. They're still searching. You know, marriage number 6, 7, whatever, trying to find happiness in another person. Or and if another movie comes along and gives them X number of $1 million, I don't know what the guy's name was. Was it Judge? Something like that. Some baseball player I heard the other day. He was going to get a 10-year contract for $160 million. That's hard to wrap your head around, isn't it? Okay. Let him pay the national debt. I don't know. But the thing, is that guaranteed he's going to have 10 years of happiness? No, he can still have his family fall apart and all kinds of other bad things happen. I don't wish that on him, but it's money isn't going to solve all of our problems. Okay? And we see this with Solomon. I mean, you know, he's like the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus. And as he grows older, he's attracted all these other women, you know, and he's got umpteen wives and concubines and everything else. And what does he say with it all? Oh, yeah. No, he's saying it's vanity. It's empty. You know, my tank is empty. He drifted away from the Lord. Okay. They drug his heart away from God because he's marrying a whole bunch of people that didn't want anything, had their own gods. And his life was empty. There was no satisfaction there. Same thing can happen to people today. And again, we can experience God meeting our needs. Not necessarily all our wants. But he supplied the needs for Mary and Elizabeth and Joseph and Jesus and John the Baptist and a whole lot of other people. Okay? And it's the same God that's observing our lives and our needs today. He knows what we have need of, and he has that ability to supply it. There is no problem with God's supply chain. Okay? The railroad guys might go on strike, but God's not going to go on strike. Right? And we see here, he's of all the needs that we have, he saw that our greatest need was what? A Savior. And that's what he gave us. He tells us there in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He sought to meet our greatest need. And he met that need through his own Son, gave up his most precious thing, the Lord Jesus, and he's not going to stop short of meeting whatever our needs might be. And he promises to supply our daily needs. We see here, too, that he praises God for his faithfulness. Look at 54 and 55. He hoping, or that's helped, okay? You can use that in your Scrabble. And they say, that's not a word. Oh, yeah, it is. It's right there. Because I thought, did I type that wrong? Nope. But anyway, he has helped us serve in Israel. And remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers and to Abraham and to his seed forever. We see here his crowning act of mercy and fulfillment of his promise to Abraham. He says, I'm going to send a deliverer. And he did. He sent the Lord Jesus. Perfect sacrifice. The one that was going to end the need for all other sacrifices. And the one, not just a temporary covering of sin like the Old Testament sacrifices did, but to remove it completely. And so God was sending real help in the form of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And there's, again, there's no other greater need than that. And he's the one who met it. And without him, where would we be? We'd be out in the world today, lost, without any hope, okay? And yet, God has given us hope. He's given us not just a I hope kind of thing, but assurance, okay? Assurance beyond, way beyond Social Security, Medicare, whatever else you think you might need, so on along the way, okay? That may go broke someday, you know, not to be a wet blanket, but God's still there. And he says, I'm going to take care of you through this life. And as a believer, one who's trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, he says, I'm going to take care of you through eternity. Folks, that's a long time. All right. And so we see examples here of God's mercy, his kindness in the lives of individuals. And there's nothing quite like, though, what God is able to, what he's able to do for us, what he already has done. And so I trust that we might be like Mary And that she recognized God's goodness and chose to praise Him for it. What were some of those things? We can do the same thing. We stop and think for a little bit, okay? Maybe put on the brakes, stop for a minute and think. We can praise Him too because He's the source of our joy, okay? And He's the one who has demonstrated His love towards us. He didn't just talk about it. He demonstrated it towards us, giving His own Son. He demonstrated His mercy towards us. He demonstrates His loving kindness towards us. He has the power to satisfy our needs. Again, you can have a lot of people telling you that they're going to supply your needs, you know. And there's some guy on the radio. I turned it off every time I hear his voice. Joe Brown. No matter what kind of economy you have, we can fix you up. You know, you're going to be taken care of. His promises aren't any better than the rest of us, folks. God is one that we can depend on. He's the one who's promised to meet the needs. His storehouse is full. No labor shortage, no supply problems or anything else. And He's faithful. God's not here today, gone tomorrow. You know, they talk about, oh, what is the roofers? Yeah, well, yeah, there's been people who've got hail damage, and they're going to have all kinds of people in your neighborhood, and they're going to want to fix up your roof, but they're going to be gone next week, and you'll never hear from them again. You need to pick somebody local that's going to be around. We've been around for X number of years. You know, you can depend on us. They're saying, hey, we're faithful. We're going to follow through. Well, we're a whole lot better than the roofers out there, right? We got a God. He's been taking care of people since Adam and Eve. And He's not dropped the ball yet. And He's not going to do it on your life or mine. He's faithful. And so it'd be well for us to examine our own hearts and lives, even as Mary and Elizabeth are doing, and to praise God for how He's abundantly cared for us. That in our need, hour of need, we can be confident that God not only has in the past, but will now and even off into the future take care of us. We have a holy God. Again, as we humble ourselves, recognize that we're a needy people, and He's the source of our joy. You know, stop and think about what God's already done for us. As well as what He has. I mean, I think the best is yet to come. Okay? He's, right, through this life, He's just kind of like handing out the hors d'oeuvres. The real good stuff's yet to come. Right? And He's not going to run out. We can count on it. We can stake our life, our eternity, on Him and His blessing and His promises. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and its truth. We pray if there be any here today that have never come to that point where they've trusted in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, that they might recognize their need, a sinner in need of a Savior, and that He's the one who's able to meet that need. Pray that You draw them to Yourself. Help us as believers to be a thankful people. Help us to look around us and be as Mary, stop and think about some of the things that we can praise the Lord for. Oh, there's always things that we can kind of growl and complain about. But there are also, if we balance this thing out, a lot of things that we can be thankful for. And again, God's the source of it all. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. And that's not going to change. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing hymn, 138, Go Tell It on the Mountain. and share it with people, okay? And tell them. I mean, they know, okay, Jesus is Lord, but they don't really know ultimately what that means to them. And that track might be clear to them, all right? Lord bless you. Thanks for coming. Remember, next Sunday, 9:15. And then if you're not sure what you signed up for on that birthday party for Jesus, just look on that sheet. Okay? Thanks, Al. Oh,
they're going to come up here and practice. Is there any chance you can get that ball?
What? Yeah, the kids are going to come up and practice, so we can kind of filter out and find someplace else to talk about.
Thank you.
Thank you.